Welcome to All Rise, the Gonzaga Law Podcast. I'm Ryan McNeese. Today, we welcome Gonzaga Law alum Trey Dolezal. Dolezal graduated in 1992 and has since led a distinguished and fascinating career in sports law. His firm, Dolezal Law and Sports Agency, is a full-service law firm in Austin, Texas, that manages and represents athletes. In 2016, he became an NFL Players Association certified player agent. During a recent visit to Gonzaga, Dolezal sat down with Patrick Charles, Associate Professor of Law and Director of the Chastik Library. Professor Charles asked Dolezal about his path from law school student to NFL sports agent. For more information about this podcast and our guests, please visit gonzaga.edu/law/podcast.
Well, Trey, thanks for showing up here. I have a few questions for you.
Okay.
So you graduated from Gonzaga back in 1992, law school. Looks like you went to undergrad at Southwest Texas State University.
Now Texas State.
Yeah. LBJ went there.
He did. It's a great place.
Are you a native Texan?
I am. I'm from Austin. I was born in Corpus Christi down on the coast, and my parents got me out of there as soon as possible when I was probably four, I think. And we moved up to Austin.
Okay. I'm originally from Florida, and I went to undergrad at Loyola University in New Orleans.
Okay.
And I wanted to go to law school, but I knew I didn't want to go to a law school in New Orleans because it's New Orleans, for goodness sake. I have to ask you, Texas, Washington State, Spokane, Gonzaga University, what made you come out here?
That's kind of the question everybody asks me when they find out I went to Gonzaga. Which I also have to pronounce for everybody, by the way. There's all kinds of different pronunciations for that, but I just usually go with, don't forget they're the Zags, so you can use that as
zigzag.
Kind of
that's
right. So back when I got out of college, I moved to Houston. My wife was a flight attendant for Delta, and I got a job selling computers, and it was really early in the computer business, and you know, who knows what would happen if I'd stayed in that business.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that I was going to try and go to law school because I was a philosophy and a psychology major, and I was a trainer, physical fitness trainer, and I was cleaning pools, and I was working at restaurants and selling computers. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And since she was a flight attendant, we were like, you know what, let's look around the country and let me apply to some neat places and let's see where I can get in. And she can fly out of kind of anywhere. And Salt Lake City was a really good hub for Delta at the time. That was in 89, I guess. So we applied in some Florida schools and up on the Northeast Coast and in California and in Spokane. And we took some trips to visit some of these places. And one of her friends that was a flight attendant was from up here and brought us up here and took us on the South Hill. And my wife wouldn't leave.
It's a lovely place, and basically that was my sort of thing too. I had gone out on vacation in Idaho and Montana and Wyoming, and I had to pay for my own education. So it was like, well, I guess I'll go out west, and I applied to a bunch of schools and got into a lot of them, and I decided to go to the University of Idaho, which is down in Moscow, 90 miles away from here.
It was
a great experience. I met my wife there. I like to go outdoors and do stuff like hunting and fishing and that type of thing. And so this has just been a really nice place. It's changed a lot. And while we were walking up here, you kind of noticed on campus here that things have changed a lot. But Spokane and sort of the Inland Empire here has changed quite a bit.
The whole area. Really has.
So after graduating from Gonzaga, you went back to Texas. You worked for the Texas Attorney General's office.
I did. Actually, the first job I had, I got an offer while I was here with a lawyer that actually was a family friend and was my dad's lawyer. And so I worked for him for a very short time until we got into it. He's a personal injury lawyer, and I was not into it.
Yeah.
So I quit that and actually started just taking on cases up at the courthouse for people that were indigent and couldn't afford lawyers. And so I would go up to the courthouse early in the morning, and they'd get out of jail, and I would see if I could help them and get paid by the state or the city to represent them. And through that, and I kind of learned that from working over here at the law clinic,
mm-hmm.
which was an amazing experience, by the way. So, yeah, that was something that interests me. And then I, through doing some of that, an old friend of mine contacted me and saw me at the courthouse doing that. And he worked for the Attorney General's office. He was kind of high up over there. And he hired me at the Transportation Division of the Attorney General's office.
Yeah, it kind of snowballs there, doing that type of thing.
It was great.
So what'd you do there at the AG's transportation administrative type law?
Well, so the Transportation Department does eminent domain and tort actions. If the eminent domain part is building highways and taking land to build these highways and freeways. And then the tort part was representing the Department of Transportation when they would get sued for accidents from construction sites. Or my very first case, 3 months out of, not 3 months out of law school, but 3 months into working there, was a severe accident on a hairpin turn. They didn't like me using that word, but they called it a hairpin turn, and a kid on a motorcycle lost his leg because he didn't make the turn and he was going too fast. And so I was in trial within 3 months of being at the Attorney General's office, and that was what was a great experience about that, because you get in there, you get with a mentor, and they take you to trial.
Yeah,
and you get ready, and
you get files here. Try it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in a big firm and that type of stuff, it'd take forever.
Exactly.
Even second chair.
Most of the people that I knew after I was there for 2.5 years, I'd probably been in 10 or 15 trials.
Oh, wow.
And most people hadn't been in 10 or 15 trials in their whole careers.
Yeah.
You know? So that was great.
So I was on your website yesterday, and you know, you're a practicing attorney, but you're also a sports agent.
Right.
I don't know if when you were here, Jim McCurdy was here.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And Jim's an emeritus now. Sports law class. Mm-hmm. And Jim still teaches it. Although I've taught it a couple of times, too.
Very
and then,
cool.
As I said, I teach an undergrad sort of ethics sports law. It's kind of baby sports law, 10,000 feet up, which is pretty nice.
Sure.
We don't have to do the Socratic method or any of that sort
nice.
Of stuff. But I see that you're a sports agent.
I am.
And you've been that almost since the very beginning when you were practicing law. How did you get into that?
Actually, when I came here to go to law school, I was very intent, I guess, on learning about sports law and wanting to become a sports agent. And then when I got here, I found out that my wife, who I just married the prior year, was pregnant within the first couple of months of being here, which was astonishing,
mm-hmm.
and I was not prepared for that. But the truth is, because of who I am and my personality, especially at that time, her getting pregnant and us having a little girl named Kirsty while I was in law school my first year probably is what got me through law school and probably is what made me focus and more determined to succeed, because I struggled trying to get in. I had to beg to let them in this place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went and met personally with the admissions and begged them to let me in. So I got in on that summer program where you had to make a B minus, I think, or
mm-hmm.
a C plus to get into the regular law school.
Yeah.
That was me. And I barely made it. And I'll never forget that day. We were in Sandpoint on the water, on the dock over there. And I called on the payphone and talked to the admissions, and they said, "You made it." And I was like, it was one of those days. Kind of same kind of day as when I passed the bar when I went back to Texas, when everybody said, "You can't pass the bar. You went to law school in Washington." Somehow I did. Not because I'm smart, but because when I'm determined, I make something happen. But the short of that is I got into the sports law stuff through some financial advisors that worked with athletes. And they would send me people like Vince Young and Jamal Charles and Malcolm Brown and some guys, Eric Williams. And so I started representing those guys as a lawyer,
because
they all need help with you know, different things. Some of it is starting their own businesses. Some of it is bad investments. With Vince Young, it was hiring a terrible agent and financial advisor. And so I really started doing that. But the agent part of it didn't come till much later, because I didn't really have the ability to go start an agency. I needed to go make money because I had a kid and
sure.
a wife. So in order to be an agent, you really either have to kind of you really can't have much of a family unless you have some kind of in. And I didn't have much of an in other than with some of these clients that I had as a lawyer. So I really didn't become an agent, an NFL agent, till about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But I was representing athletes for the last 20 years.
And that was sort of getting the toehold in there. And because I suspect being an agent is, you know, it's about personal relationships and that's, all sorts of stuff like that.
That's exactly what it's about.
Well, starting out by being somebody's attorney, you know, that's pretty personal right there, especially considering some of the clients that you've had. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way, but Vince Young, a big fan of his.
Although, big story.
Yeah, and it took some turns for the worse there. Hopefully things are getting a little bit better there.
Yeah, well, he's still got his struggles.
Yeah, but you know, being an agent there, it's sort of the total package of your you know, I was looking through what an agent does and, you know, some of these things there. It's quite extensive there, and I suspect you just can't say, okay, I'm an agent, and then clients just come to you.
No. I mean, here's the rub of it is this. There are 1,200 football players in the NFL. That's all there'll ever be, 1,200. There are 800 agents. The numbers aren't good. But there are truly only about, 50 agents that get all the players.
Mm-hmm.
You might have another 50 that have one or two players. So, yeah, the numbers aren't good. And you know, with big companies and big firms starting agencies now, because if you look at what Russell Wilson just signed the other day, $140 million, $35 million a year, $65 million guaranteed, the numbers are getting so big that, I mean, it's extraordinary how competitive it is. And it's also, it's a rough business because nobody talks very well about each other. I mean, it's kind of cutthroat. But for me, I'm very selective. I'm gonna pick guys that I want to be around. I'm gonna pick guys that I trust, and they're gonna need to trust me, and we're gonna need to trust each other for us to work together. It's even more so that way as an agent than it is as a lawyer. There's a certain aspect of that as a litigator, which is, you know, a kind of a different way to look at it. But as far as being an agent, and these are young kids. They have no idea what's going on other than how to play football, for the most part, as I didn't as a 21, 22-year-old kid either, right? So, I mean, I'm not saying anything that they're any different than anybody else, but they need a lot of mentoring. They need coaching, from a professional level as well. And so it's a difficult task, and that relationship part of it and the trust factor, they have to respect you, they have to trust you, and they have to believe that you know what you're talking about and that you can help them. And there's a lot of, you know, I always say there's 100 first-round draft picks in January, but there's only 32 teams. So there's really only 32. So a lot of people will tell them what they think they want to hear, and I try not to do that. So it's a tough business, but it's also interesting.
Yeah, and I suspect, you know, you're dealing with young men who are in their early 20s, and they're staring at a lot of cash.
Lots.
And, you know, some may have had a background with, you know, middle class or upper middle class parents, but some haven't.
Most
necessarily.
Not.
Yeah.
Most not.
And, you know, just that whole change right there has got to be a pretty big deal, and as an agent, you're sort of helping them with some of that. I know in the NFL and the NBA and even Major League Baseball, you know, they have training for them about, you know, what to do with your money and that type of stuff. But I suspect an agent is a little bit more involved in that whole process of helping them.
What you really try to do is put a team together that they can look at as part of their family, part of their extended family. Because, you know, most of these kids really do want to take care of their family, and all too many times they want to take care of their friends too, right? So if you can put them, if you can become their agent and put them together with an extended family, you know, as an agent, financial advisor, marketing advisor, somebody that can manage, you know, some of their interests, that's what they need. They need people because they're playing football. They're focused and need to be focused 100% on their health and playing football. And a lot of them have young families. So you really want to put together a team and a family for them to rely on that they can know are helping them. And when they choose the wrong person to start with, that kind of it's causation to a bigger problem, because then it grows into other people that might not be that interested in helping them and more interested in their pocketbooks.
Now, you said earlier there's 800 agents out there for the NFL, and you know, I was looking yesterday and I see that there are some agents who are both attorneys as well as agents, and as an agent you don't have to be an attorney.
You don't. You either have to have a law degree, or you have to play in the league for 3 or 4 years, or you have to have I think it's a doctorate or a master's.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it's a master's or a doctorate. But they have made this test. You go to DC to take it one time a year, and it's pretty difficult. It's not easy. It used to be real easy, according to the people that mm-hmm. I know. But they, over the last several years, because of the problems they've had with some of the agents,
sure.
they've made the test. And plus, we've got 800 agents, so
yeah.
they're trying. I mean, I went in there and with 500 people, and I think 200 of us passed. And it was $2,500 to take the test. So that's 500 people paying $2,500 going to the NFLPA. Yeah.
And going to D.C. too. I mean, that's
and,
quite
and
a week.
By the way, I went in there the first time about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago now, and just said, you know what, I'm going to go take that test. I'm just grabbing my paper, my pad, and I went to D.C., paid the $2,500, walked in, and I saw 500 people, and everybody had calculators, the big calculators. I don't do math. And I was like, "What? Why do they have all those calculators?" And they've all got their laptops, but a bunch of young people. And I sat down. I'm like, "Uh-oh, this is probably more than I was prepared for." So I did not pass it that time. And then about 6 months later, I said, "You know what? I'm not going to let that stop me." So I started studying for it, and I took my calculator the next time, and I passed it.
And here
yeah.
you are.
Yeah.
So I was looking at your website there, and it says something in there about you're affiliated with SG
Select Sports Group. Select Sports Group.
So could you tell me
yeah.
that relationship there?
So this is another interesting part of the agency business. It's kind of like the Wild Wild West. I guess the best I could explain it is, so I have my own firm, my own law firm, and also have a sports agency. It's Dolezal Law and Sports, because I practice law as well. Most sports agents that are just agents aren't practicing law. They wouldn't know the first thing about practicing
mm-hmm.
law. But because I got into it 20 years after I became a lawyer and I've been practicing law, I felt like it was something that I could really benefit these kids, because I could represent them as an agent and help them as a lawyer, right? So considering that, I can't just drop my law practice. I've got 5 kids and 1 still in college. And I have a lot of people that rely on me as a lawyer as well. And I enjoy practicing law. So I'm affiliated with this group called Select Sports Group, which is a top 5 firm. And they're out of Houston. And I got to know some of those guys, and they asked me to join them. I guess I would call it as kind of a contract agent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go through them. I've got some clients with them, but I can if they don't want to pursue a certain athlete, a football player, I can pursue them on my own, and I can represent them myself as Dolezal Sports Agency. But if there's a common interest in a player, like a gentleman named Hollywood Holton, who plays for Minnesota. We represent him together. We represent Deshaun Elliott, who's a safety for Baltimore, together. So it's an interesting way to do business, but I don't have to work with them on every player. It's kind of an agreement that we have. And I think that's there are probably several agents out there that do it that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
I did look at some of the clients that you had mm-hmm. listed there. It wasn't a comprehensive list
sure,
there,
sure.
but there, you know, Vince Young.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also had Jamal Charles, mm-hmm. who, you know, I was living in Omaha from 1997 to 2007, and I was a Kansas City Chiefs
fan
there.
Oh, yeah.
There, and,
yeah, you know, he had a heck of a career.
Yeah, he did. I mean, yeah. he was dominant.
What was it,
2012 through 2014? Yeah. Like, he was
amazing.
Yeah.
He was the number one running back in the league for probably 3 years.
Yeah. yeah. Who else? Baseball players, Adam LaRoche.
Jeff and Adam and Andy LaRoche. They also own restaurants. They own restaurants called E3. They're building a huge one in Nashville. They own one in Colorado. So those are baseball players. I'm not an MLB agent.
Uh-huh.
You have to take a separate test for
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
So I represent those guys as a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember their dad, Dave LaRoche.
Yeah, he was a coach.
Yeah, and also in the late 1970s, I liked the California Angels for some reason. They had Nolan Ryan,
okay.
that's why.
Okay.
But in 1979, they were actually pretty good. They didn't go to the World Series because Baltimore beat them, but Dave LaRoche was on the pitching staff back then.
Really? So, okay. Yeah. I've only met him a couple of times. Great guy.
Yeah.
I actually went to Mexico. Andy, the youngest of the brothers, just got done playing baseball, and he's now coaching. I can't remember who he's coaching with right now, but I went on a trip. He's getting married. He got married, so we went on a trip with the whole gang last year.
Matt Schaub.
Uh-huh, Matt Schaub.
Also, I saw Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson's a friend of mine, yeah.
He had a pretty good week a couple of weeks ago, the Masters
he's
there.
He's had some amazing weeks for a long time.
Now, being an agent and an attorney, it's very relationship-driven there. How did you meet these people?
So, gosh, I got to tell you, I don't know what you call it. I meet different people in so many different ways, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Dustin Johnson is actually my nephew's, one of his best friends from South Carolina.
Wow.
They grew up together in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah, because I looked at some of these, and you know, I'm like, there's a Texas connection.
No,
there's some UT stuff with some, a few.
There
of
are
these.
Some. Oh, there's a lot of UT.
And you know, Austin and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and
Dustin Johnson, he's from like South Carolina.
Right.
And, you
right.
know, some of these.
So
others.
my nephew lives in Columbia, South Carolina. Grew up with Dustin, and so that's how I got to know Dustin. Yeah. And I'd love to be his agent, but I'm not. I've done some work for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have to even have a certificate to be a golf agent. You just. If you get a guy, you can get a guy. Maybe I'll steal him away from his agent.
Now, how many other sports? Now, you mentioned that Major League Baseball, you have to take a test and do all mm-hmm. that, and mm-hmm. the NFL.
Yeah.
What about NHL?
Same with the NHL. You've got to, you know, I don't really have any contacts in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a ton of contacts in baseball. I'm starting to get some through the LaRoches. You know, they're all very, very separate. There are very few, if any, agents that have all those certificates or even are more than one, to be honest.
Sure.
Because it's just too hard to keep up with all the rules and regulations, especially the salary cap issues.
Yeah.
Most of the test to be an NFLPA agent is about salary cap issues, to be honest, which is kind of interesting because you don't ever really do that. You've got people that work for you that can figure that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of, you know, like know the general rules, but as far as, you know, you don't have to take a test like taking the bar. You don't need to know that stuff off the top of your head. It's nice to,
yeah.
but you can figure it out. So there are very few agents that transfer from one sport to another.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now,
there are big firms like CAA
sure,
that have
do the
conglomerate
package.
Of whoever they want as agents.
But an individual agent.
Correct.
You know.
It's just hard.
Now, when I've taught sports law, I focus mainly on college athletics and some of the compliance mm-hmm. issues there, and then also Title IX and some of the other things.
That's very
tough. Not a lot of professional, although we've talked about antitrust and a couple of other things. But we get a large number of students who, you know, they may have played sports in high school or college, and they're like, I want to be a sports agent. That's what I want to do. Jerry Maguire, you know, show me the money, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I sort of tell them, it's really hard to do that. We're not in Los Angeles here. Or we're not in Dallas, or we're not in Miami mm-hmm. or New York City. But one thing that we do have here in sort of the Pacific Northwest here in Spokane, we've got several colleges, WSU, Eastern Washington University, and Gonzaga. And I've always told some students, that law students who kind of want to get into sports law, you know, start with college stuff. There's a lot of compliance issues with the NCAA and that sort of thing. And fortunately here at Gonzaga, they do have two internship openings in the athletic department. We've and that's been going on for about 5 years mm-hmm. now, where we've had a lot of students kind of go through that. But it, you know, if you, and this afternoon, I think you're going to talk to some law students there, and I bet you're going to get the question of how do I break into being a a sports lawyer or, say, or an agent or that sort of thing. Yeah. What advice would you give them?
That is the secret question. You know, I probably get 3 a week emails or phone calls from students at University of Texas, Texas A&M, other places around the country wanting an internship, wanting to come talk to me. I try to talk to as many of them as I can. I try to meet with ones that are in Austin if I can, because, you know, I love talking about the business. And that's the big question. It's, to be honest, it is probably the hardest thing to really figure out how to get into. Like I said, just going to take the test is not going to get you anywhere. I really decided to go and take this test because my son was playing football at Texas A&M. And his senior year, 2016, I was thinking to myself, you know, now's my time, 2015 or 16. I'm going to go take this test, and because his friends were all going to go to the NFL. I'm like, and I know all these kids. They're at my house all summer and on the weekends, and they stay over, and you know.
It's A&M.
Yeah, they play at A&M. I'm like, you know, now's a good time for me to go figure this out and be an agent so I can be here for them and maybe represent them. So to me, with that said, you kind of have to have a connection to a couple of kids. And the rules and regulations are such that if you're friends with somebody and you've known them for a long time, you don't have to stop talking to them because they're going to play in the NFL, mm-hmm. right? But there's lots of rules about when you can and can't talk to these kids. And they're very strict. Now, nobody else follows them. Mm-hmm. I try to, and I do. But, you know, there's it's just the big secret out there as to how do you get involved, other than going to work for CAA or one of the big firms. You got to know somebody, and you got to beat down doors, and you got to my monologue is always never give up. If you really want to do that, you just keep beating down doors until you either meet one of these kids, get, you know, become part of a team, become part of a you know, one of the groups, you know, or you can start out working for the athletic program and, you know, learn more about what their needs are and then end up becoming an agent. It's really not anything you can really put your finger on,
sure.
to be honest.
And you can't be an introvert.
No. No.
And, yeah. and it's all about persistence, I suspect.
It certainly is. I mean, it's... And the kids that I've met and represent from UT, you know, I basically really met them through some of the kids that at A&M, because all these kids know each other. Whether you go to UT, A&M, Washington,
sure.
Washington State, they've all played and know each other, and they're on Snapchat together, and they're communicating, they're competing. So you just, you know, sometimes you just got to get lucky, and you get lucky because you're always around.
Yeah. Well, you had said for football, you know, everybody knows everybody, yeah. all the students.
Same with basketball.
I've seen that with basketball, too.
Very much. More with basketball.
Yeah, because they
Play AAU and all those teams together.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to one of my students who, as I mentioned earlier, is on Gonzaga's team. And, you know, he knows all these guys from,
sure.
you know, Duke.
Yeah.
And you know,
the elite play against the elite.
It's like, oh, you really know that person?
Yeah.
It's kind of a small world. In
Very.
Especially.
There's only, 12 guys on each NBA
yeah.
team?
Yeah.
So, you know, It's a small world. I'd love to represent one of the Gonzaga players if you can hook me up. I'd have to go take that test. But
well, thank you so much. It was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.